Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio, and thanks so much for being with us. Got our old friend Howie Knopf here. Dr. Knopf is a very famous school psychologist, president, project achieve, former president, National Association of School Psychologists, and Howie's with us a lot. And today, I love his insights on so many things, and we're going to talk today about how social media affects kids, the teenagers, and how it's all working out. Is it a blessing or a curse? And Howie's really thought this through. It's going to be a really interesting show, which we're going to archive over at ace-ed.org. That's ace-ed.org. That's the home website of our American Consortium for Equity in Education. And please go over there and join up with us. And while you're there, click where it says in big letters, read the current issue, so you can read the brand new issue of Equity and Access Journal, which you will really enjoy. It's a wonderful issue. Okay, all our podcasts are over there. You'll see an icon for that, but please read the magazine and pass that website, ace-ed.org, around to your friends. We'd like to have you, besides reading the magazine, join our consortium. We can all work together for equity. All right? If you want to follow us here, I tweet over at EduTalk Radio. I also tweet over at Access to Equity. That's the number 2, Access to Equity, ED. And LinkedIn is Larry Jacobs. Facebook is Larry Jacobs. And Education Talk Radio. All right, let's, as I'd like to say, here's Howie. Hi, Howie.
Hey, how are you, Larry?
I'm fine. How was your Thanksgiving holiday?
It was intimate, small, but
yeah.
It was great.
Good.
We were,
good.
Yeah, just the immediate family.
Yeah,
but we did an extended Zoom visit, so that was nice. So how was yours?
It was good. It was just the family here. We did not Zoom. We do enough Zoom during the week, so we did not Zoom on Thanksgiving. But it was really nice. Had my sons here, a couple of friends, and that was it. Okay, and the only one who didn't have a good time was the turkey.
As it should be.
As it should be, okay? And that's all there is to it. But the pandemic rages on. Okay, schools are open. I saw today where Baltimore, well, they're closed because now there was a ransomware attack. Okay, they were having their challenges in the Baltimore County. Okay, New York City closed down again, hybrid, back to school, et cetera. And meanwhile, the kids aren't socializing with anything but social media. So what's going on with there, Howie? What's happening?
Well, it's a story of two cities. It's good news and bad news. And it's really just a continuation. I mean, the kids have been on social media forever, but now it's kind of ramped up on steroids. And,
yeah.
You know, I mean, in a typical time, we know that 85% of the kids at the adolescent age levels are connected to social media and really use it to socialize with their friends. But at the same time, about half of those same kids feel overwhelmed by some of the pressures of social media in terms of the drama on social media, but then there's also all these biological and neurological effects. So it's a tale of two cities that's just been ramped up by the pandemic, but it's not a panacea. I mean, the kids are dependent on it for their social standing, but it's real interesting. Once they get off of it, it's almost like they need it either more, or they're feeling badly about the things that are going on in terms of the communication and the interchanges, and they, you know, get kind of upset and anxious and depressed about it.
Sounds like an addiction. You can almost describe an addiction that way.
Well,
it is.
And
yeah.
It is.
I know it's geared to act like an addiction-inducing drug. It's you know, where you constantly get these slight rewards like likes, okay, and that's important, and, you know, just like heroin gives you that blast, a like gives you a little bit of a blast, and it's really scary stuff. There was a Black Mirror, that show on Netflix that focused on that particular thing. It was really an amazing episode on that, you know, drama, but it was really something. But you mentioned something really important. Most parents can see all these social effects, but you mentioned the neurological effects. What's going on with that? Because I don't know if people really understand that as well as they should.
Well, let's take the two major ones, and you just alluded to one of the critical ones in terms of addiction. I mean, they have actually done neurological studies with adolescents and the social media and the social media likes, where they've actually controlled the studies and controlled the likes, the people doing the experimentation. And they find that the neurological parts of the brain that trigger with things like social media and especially the likes are the same parts of the brain that trigger for things like addiction and gambling.
Which is an addiction?
It is. It's a neurological addiction. And sometimes what's happening is that these kids are drawn in almost a biological way to the social media, even though the downside, it is correlated with things like anxiety and depression and issues like that on a social level. But the other side of it...
And suicide.
Absolutely. Yep. But the other kind of biological side of it is the sleep issues and the sleep deprivation. And so you've got this addiction, and then you've got kids who are sleeping with their cell phones next to the bed, sleeping in quotes, or they're up and at 3 o'clock in the morning, and we've got some studies that talk about 35-45% of our adolescents are up at 3 o'clock in the morning on social media. Mm. And again, part of that is that addictive nature of it. And it's, as we all know, it's hard to break addictions. And the kids are not necessarily aware of this. And that's part of the educational process that's got to occur, as well as the parental supervision.
That's true. But even if you tell an addict that they're addicted, they don't really care. They're just addicted.
Yes.
Yep. I mean, they may care. I shouldn't say it quite so bluntly like that. But there's not a lot they can do about it. It's really quite frightening. I got to tell you. And how do you break this? Well, let me ask it a different way. You know, we're talking about this, and we always tend to talk about this from a parent's point of view. Okay, but now everything is, you know, they're not socializing in school, and that's been removed from their social schedule for the most part. All right, so now they're doing social media, which is a whole different world. All right, and I think it's a whole different world. I'm pretty sure it is. What do teachers and educators know about this? How are they reacting to it? And maybe a better question is, how should they be reacting to it?
Well,
or
you know,
can they be reacting to it? There's a better one.
Well, again, and I don't want to put the burden just on the teachers. I mean, let's look at it from an educational perspective.
Okay.
I mean, we have done for generations. We've dealt with issues like suicide prevention in our schools. We have dealt with mental health issues. We have dealt with issues related to drugs and alcohol. So, you know, I mean, a lot of schools do address health, mental health, and wellness. And this has got to be folded into, if you will, that, quote, curriculum. And it's got to start pretty early. I mean, it's interesting. I was on a consulting call. You know, I do a lot of work all over the country, and a lot of it virtual. But this morning, before we started today, I was on with a second, third grade team of teachers. And they've got a percentage of their kids who are on social media, who are on Facebook, have Facebook pages, or are on Snapchat or Instagram. And so, you know, we've got kids second, third grade, and then up. So, I mean, this educational process in terms of health, mental health, and wellness has got to start pretty early, so that at least we're informing the kids and we are concretely giving them, you know, some guidelines. I don't want to say rules, okay, but guidelines. And, you know, one of the guidelines is, all right, if you're going to be on social media on one level, you've got to control it. You've got to restrict it. And so, you know, even, and it's going to sound crazy, but I mean, even as basic as, you know, putting on your computer a stopwatch. And, you know, so when the 30 minutes or 35 minutes is over, you shut it off. But, you know, again, the parental supervision is important. But the kids talking to each other is really the essential nature. When the kids are up in and again, starting early, 6th grade, 7th grade, 8th grade, and especially up at the high school level, when we have groups of adolescents talking with each other about the social issues of the day and the social pressures. And this media, the social media, is a social pressure. Again, studies have shown that large percentages of kids, 80, 85, 90% of the kids, feel compelled to be on social media. Otherwise, they feel that they are falling behind. But interestingly, the more kids that different people, for example, on Instagram or YouTube or Facebook, or the more friends that you have, the more anxiety, especially amongst girls, they feel to maintain that social presence. And so they create it on their own, but again, hopefully eyes wide open, that they understand that what they create, they can control. And that's what they've
got to
do.
I think Frankenstein, I think Mary Shelley came up with that story. You got to be careful what you create, okay? You're a little late if you decide to write the novel, Howie. It's,
I'm thinking
as you're saying that, let me comment on that. Because,
go ahead.
You know, I was thinking, you know, when I was a kid and, you know, if I was in with the out crowd for a while and the good kids didn't let me in, and you go home, okay? But you go home and there's something to do, all right, that's not with those kids and not with that. All right, so you're inside the house. I'm just thinking to myself, and there were other things to do, but now the damn social media is everywhere. You can't get away from it, okay? You can just get on social media and do crazy stuff, all right? Maybe it was like that when I was a kid too, but it seems like it's just always with you in your pocket. That's the problem. You can't get away from it. Your phone is always buzzing, so to speak. It's just crazy.
Yeah, but you also have that social comparison. So the social media creates its own social media. So as an example, okay, and this is on television and it's all over the internet right now. So you've got this young 16-year-old girl. Her name is Charlie D'Amelio, okay, and she just passed. She's number one on TikTok. Okay, she has get this, Larry. 100 million followers. 16 years old. 100 million followers on TikTok. All right, but now let's add something to it. All right, add some gravy to it. Last year, she made from TikTok over $4 million.
Oh my God.
Yes. Okay. So now you have the social presence, and now you have a financial payoff. And now you have all sorts of adoring fans who are saying, well, wait a minute, I can be like Charlie. And on some levels, they could be. This is just a young lady, and I'm not putting her down or anything, but she's a normal American adolescent. Okay, she's not from a wealthy family. She's not, you know, from parents who are stars or on. I mean, she's a normal adolescent, and she's created, and so again, then you have the social media, as I was saying, enticing more social media.
So is she selling product or giving sponsorships or what? I mean,
I think some of it is sponsorships. Yeah, geez.
It's frightening.
I mean, she's got, you know, I'm looking. She's going to be a Super Bowl commercial. She's got her own Dunkin' Donut drink. She's working on a makeup line. I mean, so okay. I mean, so you know, so you get that overlay. Never mind our typical adolescents who are using the social media just to socialize. Okay, but now you've got that added pressure of a megastar on TikTok.
Well, you do, and of course, it's kind of like the same thing with the NBA. Okay, they had this challenge with black kids so many years. You know, these kids weren't doing their schoolwork. Okay, because they want to be in they're good basketball players. They want to be in the NBA, but you know, 0.1% of 0.5% make it.
Yep.
To even close to the NBA, And it's the same thing with this, and the dream becomes overpowering. All right? And while whatever the hell her name is, Charlie, might be doing great, and $4 million, that's okay with me. Okay, well, I think it's ridiculous, but it's still okay with me. I got nothing to do with it. All right, but the point is 99.999% will not, yet their brain is going to be soaked in this, if I may, crapola. It's unbelievable. And if teachers don't understand this, where these kids' heads are, okay, we're going to be in big trouble. I remember, you know, maybe you remember when I was a kid, if a teacher mentioned that she went to a movie, okay, or watch the TV show that you watch, you couldn't believe it. They actually were like a human being. Okay?
Right.
And how many of these teachers are on TikTok and all this and know what's going on with this stuff? I don't know how many there are. But it's pretty scary what's going on out there
if we lose
control of it.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, to put it into a context, I mean, every generation is looking at, you know, how the new generation is different and what's impacting them and the social pressures and so on. And so this is just a continuation of the trend that, you know, we've lived through our lifetime. But at the same time, there are, as we said already, there are real neurological issues. There are real mental health issues. And again, it's not causal, okay? But there's, you know, again, the research, there's strong correlations between, for example, depression and the social media. And we're trying to figure it out, and kind of it's interesting because it's not that the social media is creating the depression. It's that the kids who have higher incidence of depression actually gravitate to the social media more.
Right.
And again, especially girls, and it being depression being kind of an internalized.
Why especially girls? It's the second time you said that. Why especially girls?
You know, I think some of it is, you know, and again, not to stereotype, guys tend to have more of the external kind of manifestations of mental health issues, the anger and the aggression and, you know, that kind of thing. Girls tend to internalize more than the guys. And so the whole self-concept issue and the anxiety and the depression, the kind of intrapsychic things, I think that's what we're kind of seeing. And it's not that the guys are not, you know, they're not immune to it in terms of the depression and the anxiety. It's just in terms of the numbers, it's, you know, a more or less kind of thing. You know, I mean, let's go down the spectrum a little bit. I mean, you know, it was interesting if you saw the program on Netflix. It's called The Social Dilemma.
I did.
Yeah, okay. And so here we have, you know, people who
The algorithm, the fearsome algorithm, yeah.
Right. So, I mean, here we've got people who were part of Facebook, part of, you know, Microsoft, part of, you know, part of these social media kind of companies, Instagram, YouTube, and so on. And they were inside recognizing and creating the algorithms that basically control what happens, for example, on Facebook. And we as adults have experienced this. We know, you know, if you've got a Facebook page, and, you know, again, Facebook for kids is probably the number four social media. I mean, adolescents right now, the top three are Snapchat, Instagram, and Twitter. Okay, but they're still on Facebook. But if right now, you know, Black Monday, if you look for a product on the internet that you're going to buy for Christmas or Hanukkah, okay, or Kwanzaa, then what happens is the internet is hooked into the Facebook, and all of a sudden you start getting ads for those same products on your feed. Okay, that's the algorithm, and that's how Facebook and these social media companies make money. Okay, but the deal is that when the adolescents are doing that, they're not aware of this. So all of a sudden, the feed becomes immersed in something that they may have, maybe in a directed way or by chance, looked at to kind of explore. All right, so where am I going with this? And I'm going to go to the dark side here. Radicalization.
Yeah, go ahead. Go, Darth Vader.
Okay.
Go.
All right. Well, so we've got, you know, we've got kids who are on the fringe already. There may be socially isolated. There may be issues of mental health. And so now they see that there's been a shooting at school. And so they start doing searches on shootings at school, and that search with the algorithms now pop up more of the similar types of feeds on their social media. And the deal is, if they're not aware that basically they triggered the enhanced feed in the areas of radicalization.
That's right. They think it's for real.
They think it's for real, but then again,
Welcome to the world and the polarization through this social media and politics.
Exactly. Okay.
It triggers itself.
But then we've got adolescents whose reality checking is not always quite there. Because they're just adolescents.
I'm not sure the adults are any better, to be perfectly honest.
Well,
this stuff.
And I agree with you.
I know you
agree
with
me.
Yeah, I know you do.
But then all of a sudden, these kids start seeing the radicalization as becoming normalized. They're immersed in it, and now we're down a trail where lines. And I'm not condoning their inappropriate behavior, but you can see a pattern of the social media guiding and leading them to this immersion. And that is the dark side. And I don't, you know, I'm not going to say that is incredibly prevalent, okay? But at the same time, it's there. And programs like The Social Dilemma get you thinking about, all right, well, who's controlling who? I mean, what is going on here?
Yeah, what is going on here? I mean, that's a question. So let me get down to the nitty-gritty for this. What do you want the schools to do? What's your suggestions?
The big picture in general is schools need to look at their health, mental health, and wellness curricula, and I'm using that consciously. I mean, we really need to have an organized approach to health, mental health, and wellness, so the drugs, the sex, the rock and roll, and now the social media. We've got to really start focusing on how do we teach kids about the impact of social media etiquette, and understanding that sometimes, for example, on this radicalization level, that what they are presented with on social media is sometimes designed and tailor-made to them, and that they can turn it off.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, I think we've got to be mindful of that. But then the other addition to this is for those that say, we don't want the schools getting involved in this and so on, I would remind our listeners that social media is a 24/7 process. And if a student or a group of students are impacted after school or during the weekend by social media, and if the social media comes in and affects the school climate, and the school interactions, the schools legally are responsible for addressing it. So something we haven't talked about yet, but like cyberbullying.
Well,
so if there's cyberbullying going on after school, but that cyberbullying comes into school and triggers a fight or triggers, you know, some kind of stereotyping or, you know, more bullying in the school proper. If the origins were the cyberbullying out of school, the school is still responsible to address it, if you will, from a behavioral or a disciplinary level. So we're already in that 24/7 oversight.
Yeah, we're already in
school.
It. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Okay.
And these are laws. We've got Supreme Court decisions that if schools do not respond, for example, to cyberbullying, then the school could be held liable.
Absolutely. Howie, are you hearing any stories that this is actually happening out there?
Oh. Some of my high schools, the adults, unfortunately, have to be trolling the social media, because if they don't troll the social media of certain kids and groups, then they can't predict fights that are going to occur. We've got kids who are, you know, adolescents, middle and high school, who are planning fights on social media to occur at a certain time in a certain place in the school. So it's been happening. We're talking 5, 8, almost a decade now. I mean, since social media hit, this has been occurring. So, yeah.
It's pretty frightening, I got to tell you, my friend. It's pretty frightening. Can Project Achieve help? That's your group. Let's do a little plug here. Can people get in touch with you? Can you help them?
Well, absolutely. I mean, one of the things that I focus on is the social, emotional, and the positive behavioral support systems in terms of climate and culture and helping kids to learn interpersonal and social problem-solving skills through the teachers, but it's also getting the kids to talk to each other. I mean, ultimately, I try to reinforce for the educators, especially up at the secondary level, that there's more of them than there are of us. And so if we're not leveraging and working and communicating with the peer group for the good of the climate and culture, then we're going to end up being a prey to the social media and sometimes to the more negative aspects of kids' lives. And the thing is, these kids, these are good kids. It's just we've got to make sure that we're doing the communication and the reaching out. We've got to nurture the kids. There's not a lot of just really, quote, bad eggs, you know, in the nest of eggs.
Yeah.
I mean, these are kids that are trying to figure it out in a confusing and challenging world, and they look at the adult relationships and the peer relationships as important to giving them a steady hand and guiding them through this whole process.
Frightening stuff, Howie. I got to tell you, I hope people get in touch with you folks at Project Achieve. Howie, you take care, buddy. We'll do more come the new year.
All right. Sounds good.
Thanks, pal. You take care of yourself.
Right.
I'll talk to you soon.
Have a great holiday.
Thank you, Howie. You too. Bye-bye.
Take care.
The one and only, the great Howie Knopf, who's on our show all the time, school psychologist extraordinaire, president of Project Achieve. Your school district can use his insights. I got to tell you, he's always got good stuff to talk about. We'll archive over at ace-ed.org. Go over, check out our brand new issue of Equity and Access. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks for listening.